Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the podcast, Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your host, your doctor, your speaker, your author, your coach, your whatever, your friend. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network. Today, we're going to have a chat. We're going to talk about Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And it's really about surfing the surfboard of life. It's about finding the sweet spot. And I'm not a surfer. I wish I was. I've done it. I love it. I have friends. I live in LA. I need to learn to do it, but it hasn't yet become my sport of choice. But as a kid, I lived on the seesaw in summer camp, and I realized my nervous system is big enough for me to hold both ends of that seesaw. My favorite part of the seesaw, I was the crazy kid who didn't like to just go up and down. We would go up and down, and then one person on one side would stop really fast to try and knock the other kid off. That was how I played seesaw, right? Like, how easy or hard was it for you to get knocked off the seesaw, get back on and keep playing, right? And that's what life is doing to us. That's the visual, the metaphor of life always trying to knock us off our seesaw and our balance and our equilibrium. And we're desperately, that nervous system is desperately trying to hold on to the center. Or maybe you're holding on to the edges like me and you like to push edges. So everybody's nervous system is different. And on some other episodes, you can go back and listen. I've talked about the erotic blueprints. And the erotic blueprints are how your nervous system accesses pleasure, right? And a little bit of that kinky blueprint is the folks who like what's taboo and what's naughty and what's pushing your edges, right? And I got, I guess, a lot of that in me. I like to push edges and grow and see what I can get away with and all that. But other people are, their nervous system is not wired for that. Their nervous system is wired, to taking things super, super slowly. And that's the energetic. And ironically, I got a lot of that in me too. The sensual loves living in their five senses, taste, touch, sound, smell. They love really being in their body and really taking in life, not necessarily slowly, but through savoring life. And then we have the sexual blueprint, which for pleasure, it's like, boom, boom, thank you, man. Let's do something, get to the next thing. Let's do something, get to the next thing. It's always about chasing the destination and not the journey. And I invite you, I'm a shapeshifter, if any of you have talked to me, and that means I like to play with all those blueprints and everything I just described. And it's all about the nervous system and really who you are at your core. Is sensation and story and as well as the body. And all we are is dancing molecules in space. My visual that came to me, I go into meditative states, and that's me. I'm learning for me to find my center, I got to get out of my brain and into a meditative state in some way, shape, or form. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But I like to imagine sometimes that if we're more bacteria, and again, I talked about that on another episode, then we are human. And then the bacteria cells, these one-celled organisms, and maybe even you don't have to think about even bacteria, but each organ of your body is made up of a compilation of one cell. And one cell becomes two cells, three cells, four cells, and it makes the liver, and then it makes the heart, and it makes the intestines. So we're all these one-cell things coming together to make organs, and then they communicate through the blood system, the lymph system, the nervous system to talk to each other. And then we live our lives, and then at some point we all die, and we go back, you know, in the earth, or we're cremated and burned and we're part of the air, and those molecules, energy can't be destroyed. It only is transformed is the science. And so we get somehow reborn into some reincarnation, re-put together. And I like to imagine the bacteria or these one-cell things making Play-Dohs or Legos. And they build us, and then they decide to smash us, and we start all over again. And they build us, and then they smash us, and they start all over again. And when you start thinking about that, humans have been here for thousands and millions of years, and we all live or die, then that is what's happening, where the energy that is our higher self, if you will, lives in this body. It's like we are the avatar for our higher self. And then at some point that is determined not by us, poof, we're gone. And we somehow come back again. And so this higher self is this consciousness that somehow is always a part of us. It's, you know, the breath brings us to life. We emerge out of the womb with our first real breath. And then we live this exterior life on earth, breathing air. But we live for 9 months, not breathing, but bathing in water in our mom. And we were one with our mom. And then one day we were no longer one with our mom, we were two. And ironically, prior to us being one with our mom, we were a thought. We were an egg and a sperm and a thought in our mom and a thought in our dad. And then poof, with one orgasm, one letting go, one spark of energy, we became an embryo that was a living thing. Now, it wasn't living and breathing initially. It first was just coalescing, and then it rolls down the tube, the fallopian tube in the mom, and it's like a snowball getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's this interconnection between mom and this snowball of cells, and they invade her like a foreign invader in a sense, but she invites this foreign invader in, which, by the way, is a recreation of sexuality. It's the feminine inviting in this penetrator, but I won't get into details. You can all imagine that. And so everything, the microcosm, the macrocosm, is always recreating this divine universe, right? And so this embryo invades and grows, and there's no conscious mind telling it when to build what organ. But somehow it knows. And I read a lot of books, so I'm not 100% sure whether it was Lisa Feldman Barrett in How Emotions Are Made or Bitch by Lucy, both female scientists teaching us about biology in a lot of ways. But I just had a senior moment and I forgot where I was connecting those. In terms of how, brains, we think our human brains are so different than animal brains. And yet a lot of our difference and the enlargement of our brain and our capacity to communicate thoughts verbally is that our brain stays in certain stages longer. The time frame in certain stages of development is longer. And that's what helps us develop, I believe, that prefrontal cortex that then comes online when we are toddlers to start to communicate, and thought becomes voice. So I invite you, if thought becomes voice, and thought mother, father have an egg and a sperm, and they dream of having a baby. And they come together in that split moment of orgasm. There is a letting go. There is a spark where that sperm takes its energy and finds the egg, and poof, a baby is born. Truly, we are created out of nothing, out of thought. I just want that to sit. We are created out of thought, out of energy, and out of letting go of control. The feminine force invites in the masculine. The masculine is swimming, 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 doing what it can. And together, masculine and feminine and energy and spark and humans are created. We are masculine and feminine. We are the conduit of the divine spark and the earthly realm. The divine spark of creativity and thought and energy. And we become an earthly animal being. We are divine itself. And I'm not talking religion here, folks. I'm talking energetic rules of the universe. Energy. Aliveness. The nervous system coming online and feeling this body that we live in. And without our brain's control, we literally grow a body. I want you to think about that, because we come out of the womb and initially we are helpless beings. We don't come out born and we're ready to go. We come out helpless beings, and we, first of all, we think we're a blank slate, but we come out with DNA that has been pre-programmed. Thousands of years of programming, which genes get turned on and turned off to make a heart cell, a colon cell, a brain cell. And your nervous system, how it reacts, has probably been pre-programmed by all the proteins that are bound to that DNA, because those proteins binding and unbinding, and carbon and hydrogen groups, those are called methyl groups, binding and unbinding, those are indeed what control the DNA as it opens and closes and makes proteins and enzymes and gives us energy for ourselves to function. And so we are present in this human form, and we are present in this now present human form, but we come with a lineage. We come with a past. We come with that DNA and the environment that our mom had in the egg, and the environment that our grandma had, because mom was an egg in grandma's body. And then we are programmed as children to live in a society through communication, verbal and nonverbal, how to act, how to behave, how to think. And we are programmed by that communication that goes on in our household, that goes on in our schools, that goes on in our family dynamics. And our school teaches us how to behave. Or maybe we will fail. Our family teaches us how to behave, or maybe we will be unloved. And we develop defenses in childhood, and stories in childhood, and thoughts in childhood. And our mind starts to develop, not our brain. Our brain came out developed. Our mind begins to develop through story. But story isn't truth. Story is programming. And you have been programmed. Which apps are you holding? And are they yours or your mom's or your dad's or your siblings or your birth order? And this is an excellent time to take a break. We will come back and get back to Goldilocks. Goldilocks is finding the right for you. Not too big, not too small, but just right. The story of the three bears. We all know it. We've all heard it. We don't even realize we're listening to it, living it consciously or unconsciously, or we have completely separated from it, and yet it's becoming who we are unconsciously. So let's take our first break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your host of the day. No, I am the host of this show. I am a physician, and I'm a freaking intuitive witchy doctor. I'm going to own it. I am a witchy doctor. I am a healer that bridges worlds of old and new, modern and ancient, sacred and profane, energy and matter. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network. And let's take our break.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. It is on the Inspired Choices Network. I'm your host, your witchy doctor, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we're talking today about Goldilocks, about finding you, finding your center, finding who you really are, and healing by being the authentic you that you were meant to be. And for so many of us, we are living in a programmed state. We are allowing subconscious programming to control our lives. And let me tell you, in today's age with social media and TV and distraction after distraction after distraction, you know, there's some statistic I heard this weekend. I think 2% of the humans are actually thinking, and 98% are asleep and distracted and doing life the way they've been taught to do life. And we've been taught so many things. We have so many limiting beliefs about, you know, think about, oh, you got to work hard to make money. But the super rich don't work hard and they get more money than anybody else. You know, you got to go to the doctor to be well. But the people who are really well don't seem to go to the doctor, right? So We have these stories in our head. Where do they come from? Well, they come from our survival brain. They come from childhood. They come from us not understanding the civilization we're in. And literally, our survival brain is trying to negotiate. I need to stay alive. I'm a freaking child. I don't know how to get my own food, my own water. I don't know how to live in this society. So I got to figure out how to live so I don't die. So the newborn baby screams at the top of their lung, I'm hungry. Bah! Now, why does the baby scream in that piercing voice? Because a mom can't ignore that piercing voice. I'm telling you, I remember so well. Here I am, the OBGYN, thinking I know everything because, you know, I'm the smartest in my class and I did really well and I was like one of the best residents and I know all about this. And then I have to have a freaking baby. And I'm like, I've never had a period cramp. I don't even know what labor is going to feel like, much less taking care of a newborn baby and breastfeeding. Like, are you freaking kidding? I don't really know anything about this. I just know what the books taught me to tell people. And my kid comes out. First of all, I can't even get him out. I can't push him out. I need a vacuum to get him out because I couldn't let go. Oh, maybe that was the body telling me I was tightly wound and needed to learn to let go. If I didn't learn it from my gut for all the years that I've been living in irritable bowel and thinking that was normal because that's all I knew. And then the baby comes out. I'm trying to breastfeed and I'm actually doing a really good job of breastfeeding. And my kid was doing a really good job of eating. But I'm telling you, this kid can eat. And to this day, he's 32 and he can eat. And all he wanted to do was eat. It was the only way I could calm him down. And so I'm literally nursing him every hour on the hour. I'm like, you know, you nurse for 20 minutes, 40 minutes later, he's screaming again and I'm nursing him. And we're doing this dance. And I didn't know what I was doing, but boy, my body was in pain. And so I called the doctor, the pediatricians. I'm like, help it. I've been taught you're supposed to nurse every 2 to 4 hours. And this kid's just eating all the time. And they're like, just got to listen to your kid. Now, there's two things I would say. Number one, 6 months into this journey, I read The Self-Calmed Baby, and it taught me so much about looking for the nonverbal cues that might be coming from my child to help teach him how to calm his nervous system with anything other than eating. At 6 months, I was like, oh, I failed, because I didn't know any of those tools with him. And let me tell you, he was a fat baby because I fed him, and then I had to go back to work at 6 weeks. And so I had a babysitter and I think she fed him a lot. The good thing is he was a very active boy. When he got up and finally started to run at 10 months old, he became really skinny because he ran it all off. But the point was, this baby knew how to scream and cry to get his needs met. And he was growing and he was growing fast and he wanted to grow up really fast. And so I'm going to go back now to birth order. And I'm an OBGYN. I'm a fertility physician. And I see myself in a lot of ways. I'm a conduit between life and death. I'm really ushering people into becoming a new version of themselves. They're not a mother. Then they become a mother. They think they're infertile. And I try and teach them they're feminine. And therefore, they are meant to have babies. They need to start believing they are a fertility goddess and not listen to the programming telling all women that they're broken and need to be fixed and they can't do this on their own. They got to go. My kids literally thought you always went to the doctor to get a baby because that's all they heard in their growing up was all these women coming to me to make babies, right? And we have normalized the process of going to the doctor to need a baby. And it's wonderful that we have this technology. Again, the seesaw of life. I am so excited that I get to gift this technology to my clients, my patients, and simultaneously, they need to know they were put on this planet to do this. So let's go to birth order and what I tell my new parents to be. First of all, this baby's going to take over their life. There is never a right time to have a baby. All you women out there, all you men out there, waiting for the right time. Oh my God, there is no right time. When you do it when you're young, you're dumb, you're stupid, you don't know what you're doing. And guess what? It happens really easily. We were put on this planet. Our best fertile years are probably from about 24 to 34. And, you know, when you're a teenager, your body's still growing. So it's probably not, you're not the most fertile. Your cycles may or may not be as regular as they get till you're in your 20s. Maybe even 21 to 33 is the best for the body, right? But the brain, we are slowing down our maturity level. And so I wasn't ready at 21 to take care of another baby. So it wasn't the right time for me. But for a 21-year-old that has a baby, oh my God, at 41, they're back online. They're still young, youthful, and they got their whole life ahead of them. So there's not a right or wrong. And the women who wait till 39, 40, 41, they're not resentful, perhaps, of giving up their Saturday nights and their parties with their friends to stay in with this newborn baby. They have the maturity to know, I did my playing already. I'm here now to have quiet time with my kid, right? So there's no right time. And I'm telling you, at any time, you will be disrupted. That's what babies are here for, to disrupt your life. And then you're here really to regulate their nervous system. I really feel like that. One of my mentors said that. Parents' job is to provide safety so that the child can regulate their nervous system to truly be able to weed out, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm safe. I'm alive and I'm breathing and I'm not safe. I got to get the freak out of Dodge because this is not a safe place to be. And we're trying to pick that up, but we're not often in a safe household because the parents nowadays have often not figured out how to negotiate and relax their own nervous systems. So I'm going to do the Goldilocks of 1, 2, and 3, and some people there's more than 3 in the family. So you're going to have to extrapolate from this. But the firstborn, oh my God, I am the court jester in this house. I am the center of attention. I am the prince and the princess and the court jester all in one. I have my parents, all their attention. They are so excited that I am here. I am the best thing that ever happened to them. I am amazing and I've got the world in my hands. I am great. Now, that is one way that first child can develop. But that first child is also, as one of my friends calls it, the burnt pancake. Because the parents are like, what the hell happened to me? I don't really know how to raise this kid. All right, I'm going to try this. Oh, that didn't work. I'm going to try that. That didn't work. I'm going to try this other thing. That didn't work, right? Because we weren't really taught how to regulate our own nervous system because our parents may have still been living in their own fight, flight, freezer, please, not ever accessing their higher self because we're living in this planet of, is there enough food, water, and shelter for me? And my parents were depression babies. They carried with them, there's never enough. They carried with them scarcity, not abundance. They weren't safe in their own nervous system. And my sister, I'm sure, picked up on that. I know I did. And so there's a seesaw of life. Oh my God, we have the baby that we always dreamed and wanted. We were told to grow up and have babies. This is so exciting. And oh my God, it's terrifying. And so they are balancing that. And if they have loving parents, hopefully they are picking up the love and feeling like the cat's meow. But often they're feeling the burden. Oh my God, I have to stick with a job I hate because I can't leave it because I have to provide for my kid. Oh my God, what was I thinking? I don't want to be with this guy for the rest of my life, but I'm stuck because now I have a child. There's a lot of emotions that could be going through mom and dad's head because they haven't fully tapped into their own higher self. And so all this nonverbal junk is happening to this first child. But let's say it's the perfect household. Mom and dad are doing well. They're financially stable. They have a home. They're in jobs that they love. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. And all of a sudden, here comes the second kid. Now, we live in a society of monogamy, so I'm just going to pretend in terms of the monogamy. If monogamy is true and real and the way we're supposed to live, imagine your spouse comes home and says, I loved you so much. You are the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm bringing home another. You're going to share your room. You're going to share your toys. You're going to share my attention. But I promise you, you're going to fall in love with having this second wife or husband. And most of you would go, ew, no, I want you all to myself. So that's what the nervous system of the firstborn is like. Why wasn't I enough? Why did they need to have another? What did I do wrong? That's the nonverbal communication in the brain. The inner judge is constantly trying to figure out, I'm not safe in this family because they don't love me enough. They had to have another. And we develop inner voices in our head. There's, if you read Positive Intelligence by Shirzad Carmine, I hope I get his name right, or Internal Family Systems, Richard somebody, I forget his last name. We develop inner voices in our head in childhood that become our mind. And the inner voices, if we are helpless and rely on parents to take care of us, food, water, shelter, safety, we direct a lot of the judging into ourselves. And so we have an inner critic that comes online before we're seven. We have an internal family systems. We have protected and wounded inner parts. We have defense mechanisms, right? And these are all things that develop in our mind to keep us safe. We can't say we hate our inner brother or our inner sister, so we fight ourselves and we develop these protective mechanisms. So the inner child in our firstborn is, I'm not good enough. And that is a fundamental wound of most humans on this planet. I'm not good enough. I don't belong. And I'm not safe. Okay? I don't belong. I'm not good enough is fundamental wounds in almost all humans. So the firstborn, remember, they've been top. It's like, what's King Henry and the seven wives died? Divorced, died, beheaded. I forget it. But the bottom line is we've been toppled off the totem pole and replaced. So our inner child, those oldest ones, and then they lose their childhood sometimes because they have to take care of their siblings. And all of a sudden, their fantasy world has collapsed. They're not the center of the world anymore. And we are going to take our first break. I want you to just think about if that has happened to you, if you have inner voices. That's normal. You are normal. You are loved. We are all loved. We are all divine creatures, but we have these inner voices, these inner critic, and we need to wake up and learn about them and love them. So loving yourself unconditionally means loving your inner critic and not letting them drive the bus anymore. So we are going to go to our break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your witchy doctor for the day. We are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is your healing playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your host and witchy doctor of the day. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I would invite you, if you have any desire to go deeper with some of the stuff I talk about, I have two children's books. They're super fun, super easy to read. Who am I? What am I? And they are a children's version of a lot of really high concepts. But they're so fun, so easy to read, and I invite you to play with them and let me know if you like them. Gift them to friends. So gift them to young children so they can get a deeper awareness of who they are. Literally, we are the universe in human form. We are energy and matter, and we are here to play. And how do you play? So I invite you that play is the way back to healing. And so we've talked before the break about how we come into being through thought alone. Thought and energy sparks the ability for the energetic orgasm, and we grow from one cell to billions and billions of cells. We are an ecosystem of all these one cells, these bacteria and human cells coalescing, working together in symbiosis to be a human being. And our mind is, our brain is just an organ. Our heart is what starts beating first. Our heart energy is 5 times greater than our brain energy. Our brain is meant to be the slave, the tool to the heart. And our mind is conscious and subconscious. And I heard this weekend, the conscious mind should be the captain and the subconscious mind is the crew. It's always giving us what we say, even if it's not what we mean. But this mind, conscious and subconscious, should be in service to our heart, because our heart is our biggest energy. But our mind is usually driving the bus, and the mind starts in childhood in survival mode. And we talked about our inner child and the firstborn going, I'm not good enough, because they wanted another. Why did they want another? Why was I good enough? And why do they keep screwing up and not meeting my needs? Because they haven't figured out their own needs, their own nervous systems, and they can't help you. And you're stuck floundering trying to figure it out on your own if your needs aren't met. All right, firstborn. I'm going to skip to lastborn. Why? Because I'm the lastborn. I got to talk about me. No, not really. It's because the middle child, you know, if there's 3 in the family like mine, I could do Goldilocks, 1, 2, 3. But if there's 11 in the family, there's a lot of middle children. And then you have to figure out if you're more of the upper, lower, or you're all middle, right? And so I think there's a lot of nuance to that middle child, right? The youngest child is the youngest, the smallest, the littlest, the runt of the litter, the always trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to compare themselves to the bigger, better, smarter grown-ups that their siblings are. And let me tell you, comparisonitis, itis in Latin speak is inflammation. So I talk about the disease of comparisonitis, and the little one is always comparing themselves to these bigger, better siblings in some way, shape, or form. Now, they're also comparing themselves, I don't want to be like that one. That one gets in trouble for being, for speaking out and being a rebel. I got to be the perfect one who doesn't. Oh, my older brother is the athlete. I better not try and be the athlete. I got to be the student. My older sibling is the student. I better be the athlete. I better be nice to everybody because they're always fighting. All the siblings are always fighting. I got to be the peacemaker. So they're always comparing themselves to everybody else and perhaps never measuring up because they're smaller. So I know for me, like, I had to be the smartest in the room. I had to be the loudest in the room because I was ignored all the time. We had a silent contest every time we got in the car. And they knew I was so competitive that we'd get in the car and they'd say, let's have a silent contest. And whoever could stay silent the longest wins. Well, I was so competitive, I always won. And it was years before I realized, of course I always won. They wanted to shut me up. And I got really mad when I thought about that as an adult. That was mean. And then I really went back into my childhood and said, no, girlfriend, you were so competitive. You asked for the silent contest because you wanted to win. And ironically, I think I also knew, my higher self knew, I can be quiet. I can go inward. I love myself enough to be quiet and go inward and find out who I really am. And so I was living on the seesaw of this life of, I'm not good enough. I'm good enough. I love myself. Why doesn't everyone else love me? All I am is love. Oh, all they see is my loudmouth brain and my inner critic. I love this. I once said to myself, or said to someone tried to say I was narcissistic, and I'm always thinking about everybody else. I am not narcissistic, and simultaneously, I want my needs to be met. So I'm a little narcissistic. Again, living on that seesaw of life, I'm allowed to be narcissistic. That gets my needs met and keeps me alive and thriving. And I'm going to think about everyone else as well, because we live in community and connection, and I love everybody. And how can I say yes to me, which means a no to somebody else, and really playing with both ends of the spectrum? Because people pleasing is a defense mechanism. People pleasing is your yes is not a real yes, because you're saying no to you if you always say yes. So people don't even know if you really like them or not, because you always say yes, right? So people pleasing is a defense mechanism. Being the smartest in the room, that's like my brain, living from my brain, I thought that's how I was supposed to live. And because I was taught to compete and be the smartest, and that working hard and being smart was the way to get ahead in life. That was my family's programming, right? So your inner critic, so back to narcissism, I loved myself so much that I married my inner critic, and I loved my inner critic because my inner critic is so sneaky. She's a judge that says, I'm not good enough. She's always trying to improve herself. And if I'm not good enough today, then I don't give myself unconditional love because I'm always trying to get somewhere else to be better. And to be better means I'm not good enough today. But unconditional love means giving myself love today. I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect, and we're imperfectly perfect and perfectly imperfect. So I invite the good enough. I'm good enough today. Will I make mistakes? Yes. But if I always come from heart and I always come from love, then I should love myself and love myself enough to admit my mistakes, to accept them, and to apologize to someone else, which I've done. I've done that to my children. I've made mistakes. Mom, you said something that really, really hurt me. I wish you had said X, Y, and Z. And I looked at them. I said, I wish you had been the parent. I didn't know what to do. And I yelled and I screamed and I used words that hurt you. And sticks and stones will break souls, even if they don't break bones. And we've been hurting ourselves and our loved ones and our strangers and our enemies for centuries, millennia. And let me tell you, that stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet. And until we learn that sticks and stones will break souls, we will keep killing our souls, our own souls, by not living the fullest version of ourselves, and by having wars where we're killing someone else's baby. And I'm not religious, but in the Bible, you know, the very beginning, the freaking Abraham is told to kill his son. How freaking ridiculous is that? That is a lesson that you don't listen to anybody. No inner voice, no outer voice to tell you to kill another human being. And if you somehow have to kill another being, it needs to be with reverence. The way we put animals out of their misery humanely, not through war and torture and rape. And boy, did I go somewhere else from the youngest child never feels they're good enough. And we are going to take a break and we are going to come back to that middle child in the Goldilocks, finding that sweet spot in the middle. The middle child can be the sweet spot in the middle unless they direct it back at them. So let's take a break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your host, your witchy doctor, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network, and we are taking a break. Boy, I'm going to breathe at this break. I invite you to breathe into your larger, most amazing self.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul, from neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk. She'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your host. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And if you're liking any of the blubber that I am giving you, if I am good enough in your living room, in your bike ride, your walk, your whatever, to listen to learn from, to grow from, to heal from, please subscribe. Please tell your friends about it. Please help me get the word out to the universe that if you are alive and you are breathing, you are safe to live your life and live your life as you meet your higher self. Come to know that you are good enough in the perfectly imperfect version of you. You are imperfectly perfect and perfectly imperfect. Now, the middle child, let me tell you, we talked about the oldest, we talked about that youngest. The middle child is like, come on, we had a mom and a dad, we had a boy and a girl, or we had 2 + 2 = 4. We were balanced. We were perfect. Why did you go ahead and have another? If he was going to be the smart one, I was going to be the athlete. If he was going to be the athlete, I was going to be the drama queen. We were balanced. Don't you know we are sun and moon and earth and sky and everything is supposed to be symmetrical. And now we're out of balance. Where do we put this extra human? So what happened to me? I got to sit in the freaking center and balance these two. I'm not the oldest. I'm not the youngest. I'm just stuck in the middle. I'm not the biggest. I'm not the smallest. I'm stuck in the middle. I don't live at the end of the surfboard. I'm stuck in the middle negotiating. I'm the peacekeeper. I'm the, I'm literally stuck in the middle. I have to feel everybody's energy and figure out where do I fit in. That middle child is always trying to figure out their role. Where do they fit in? They're the story. They're not the cover, and they're not the jacket, right? They're not the first show or the last show. They're the junk in the middle. And like the Oreo cookie, right? You got the Oreo cookie on the outside and the middle. And if there's a lot of kids in the family, let's think about the sandwich. It's the peanut butter and jelly in the middle, right? And if there's a lot of them, you got 2 pieces of lettuce and 2 pieces of meat and some cheese and tomato, and they're literally trying to figure out what part. Oh, I got it. It just downloaded. If you got a salad, you got the lettuce and the croutons up on top, and which vegetables make up the salad? When you got a big, big family, how do you stand out? What vegetable are you? If you got a fruit salad, which fruit are you? Are you the sweetest or the sourest? And you got to figure out who you are in the salad or the fruit salad of your family, in the sandwich of your family. And your flavor, can it stand out so they remember who you are? Ah, that's the beauty of the larger families. It's that the family itself is a big salad. And who are you? What's your role? What's your role in your family? What's your role in your corporation? What's your role on this planet? What's your role in your life? And let's end with, who do you want to be? But it's not who you want to be. Go back to who you are. I use meditation, breathwork, silence. As much as I talk, I get so quiet to find my inner self. To get to know who I am. I am love. I am you. I am another. I am life. I am joy. I am here to be your mirror. You are good enough. Next week, we will talk about healing yourself from Crohn's disease. A man who I met who went deep within to heal himself. We all can go deep within to be the best version of you. You are on this planet to do you. So find out who you are without your inner judge, without your inner voices, without your firefighters, without your exiles. Who's the kernel of truth? Who's that spark that you were meant to be? Because yes, you have a spark of the divine that you are here to shine. So please shine on your state.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine. Is a practice and play is your medicine.